And now it is my pleasure to introduce the first of three speakers for this morning's session, Shoei Shigematsu. Shoei joined OMA in 1998 and became a partner a decade later. He has led the OMA office in New York since 2006 and is responsible for OMA's operations in North America. Shoei was the project leader on the winning competition of the CCTV headquarters building in Beijing and has been a driving force in conceptual projects for OMA throughout the world. Shoei was the partner in charge of this project and, in fact, was a faculty member for us in our graduate program in New York for 2 years. Please welcome Shoei to his auditorium.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm very honored to speak at the auditorium that we designed meticulously, which I explain to you later. Today I decided to show you the process of designing this building rather than explaining the building directly how it works, because we tend to show our concept and the outcome too easily, as if it's born in one afternoon like this, but actually we spend a lot of time with the team working on each individual issues. I would like to start from the context. We were the third architect in this building, as you know, and of course Cornell had a higher turnover of its leadership compared to us. Even during the building process, of course, we had to deal with many new authorities, which, of course, we used in our favor to be the kind of longest person in the project. The project also went through many crises, one economical, one kind of internal, for example, the ownership of University Avenue because of its design, etc. It had many delays. But of course, the courage of the college was shown when it was decided right after the Lehman shock to go to move on. And somehow this building was regarded as a kind of building that went through the crisis. And of course, we have in our office have a theory that as opposed to the stock market going down, actually human index, such as planning and connecting and thinking, have a reverse effect. And it's also proven in architectural history that a lot of good architecture and urban manifestos were written during the moment of crisis, including Delirious New York, as Rem was saying, starving artists yesterday. As you can easily imagine, when you don't have enough work, architects have enough time to write good books. This is one of the representations of how long it went since January 2006. We had like eight babies born, including Ziad, through the whole process. That's me on the side, but I unfortunately couldn't get a child, so somehow this building became a kind of projection of my wish. 2001, it was my first project to lead. It was an extension of Whitney Museum. It was a very complex project, similar to this one, attaching to two existing buildings, and finding a very limited footprint to launch the building because both buildings were landmark. And also actively preserving two buildings, but also reorganizing the whole circuit and the display system of the whole three buildings. So it's very similar to Milstein. But somehow 9/11 happened, and then the whole climate changed in the world, also as in OMA, which Far East used to be what it used to be Far East, but everyone wanted to go East. So I did the competition of CCTV and until design development, this huge building, about 5 million square feet. I was quite young, but leading about 50 people team for about a year and a half. Now it's almost done. Actually, it's opening new Chinese year next year. And then during that whole operation in China, I also did a competition of this building. So I have been doing many big projects and in Asia before I came back to the United States. Ziad was also a project leader of this building. It's a World UNESCO site in Germany, refurbishing and remaking the old coal washing plant into a visitor center in Essen. And there's another architect, Jason Long, and a team who was also working on a headquarters for Rothschild Bank. So somehow, when we came back to Ithaca, it was a kind of a dream team from OMA trying to make this project work, if I retroactively think now. So the condition was fairly complex, as you know, the four buildings, dispersed disciplines. You could feel the tension from the day one of different departments. And also, as I said, we were the third architect. So that was also something very unique in our typical process, because we actually typically start the project and actually Renzo Piano takes over. So somehow it was beautiful to be in a position to take someone over. There's even a conspiracy theory that OMA and Renzo Piano is the same office. When we started, the northern edge had a very high potential, we thought, because it's facing the gorge, but of course it was neglected. And also the challenge to provide a gateway to the campus was, of course, one of the biggest issues for us, because we were the third architect, but the first architect that we had to keep RAND as it is. So I show you very quickly many studies that we went through. Massing, this was the kind of the massing for the given square footage. We did like tower. We thought it was maybe nice to show some kind of end point. Also like similar to the Ayanpei Museum. It's a kind of extension of the central portion of Sibley Dome, cantilevering over. As you might know, we love cantilevers as a firm. this one we liked also. It's kind of sitting in between the East Sibley and RAND. Basically, very visible from East Avenue. And then we started to wonder, maybe it could be interesting to have two buildings. One is a library and one is studios. And then somehow that became a little bit literal to create kind of a circuit. And then also providing some gateway quality over RAND. This one I like too. It's a cross shape between RAND and Sydney. And then we were, of course, trying something a little bit outrageous, something like this. It's very ugly, but it was just a kind of diagrammatic move. And then somehow this came, it was a kind of pure square aligned to a building on the east side of the Art Squad, and then very effortlessly kind of providing such a clear site. In a way, our massing study became finding the site simultaneously. So we, you know, together with Rem, we found this notion that box is typically a kind of freestanding typology, but this box is completely defined, entirely defined by the existing lines of the campus. And then somehow that became the building and then the site at the same time, providing almost like a mini Art Squad on the northern campus, and also simultaneously connecting different buildings. So that the building actually is hugging Sibley and touching RAND and seamlessly providing activity that flows from one to the other. It's almost like a adaptive reuse, but very engaging, not just making a new building, but creating the old functional too. We actually did the master plan. It was a partially political decision, I guess, but because the building was primarily sitting on the architecture side, we thought it would be nice to show the vision for the future, showing the potential extension of other disciplines like planning and art onto the north side. So somehow Milstein became a hinge to redirect the alignment here towards west and creating a northern edge. So we provided this feature, and somehow this dome here is actually not, doesn't really belong to the plate language, but belongs to this strip of landscaping element that is envisioning the future. Which was also backed up by the idea that there is an underground parking throughout the throughout this whole northern edge. You can arrive directly from parking into the building, which is, we thought, is very necessary for a city like here, and also climate like here. And then once we were convinced with the plates that plate, we studied how the plate can be. This is the size. It's almost similar to, including the Sibley East Wing, it's similar to the World Trade Center footprint. It's a kind of conglomeration, of course, of different rooms in our concept that could be maybe wrapped into a kind of structure. Or it could be a different element such as book stacks and studios and circulation and auditorium stuck together into one plate. So these were studies. You can see our struggle that we had to fit a book stack because the primary ambition was to move the library out of Sibley. So we couldn't just solve with the plate, so we are adding many things on the roof. And this one came almost like a kind of seamless continuum, a plate that starts from the ground and then ramp up to the roof. But we thought it was a little too redundant in terms of OMA language, because we've done many buildings like this. This was having a mezzanine on the north side. And then we went, we were convinced of the simplicity of the plate, so we went for this very robust box. And then somehow then the issue became, of course, how to program the inside. So this was the book stack being on this side and then providing a studio on this side. This one, the orientation is different, but the book stacks became on the northern edge, and then having some secure area, so after hours the books, the library is closed, and then you still have big enough space for the studio. So that became almost like a diagram, so you can see here. It consists of a series of bands, like reading room here, book stack, another multimedia, a working area, and this is a kind of public circulation and area, and then the studio. But book stack was somewhat in late SD canceled as an idea because of the budget reason. So suddenly the whole plate became a studio space. So where the book stack used to be, we programmed it as a multidisciplinary space where multidisciplinary studio can take place. So we studied many iterations, and also even the book, the desk layout. What was great about providing an open-ended box is that we could really participate to the pedagogical issues together with the faculty to the extent that it typically, if you provide different rooms, we probably could not have participated. So now we are very happy that the space is well used, and of course students are very quick on picking up the kind of potential of the, this is very poetic, and playing badminton, and of course, bicycle. And we like being endorsed this kind of diversity. Structure, Bob will explain later, so I will go very quickly. We wanted to have very effortless, very as open as possible within the plate in the beginning. So we even had this scheme that all the beams are actually on the roof and provide no column whatsoever in the space. We even thought that the dome can actually support the plate, which in the end it couldn't. And this was this came, it's a kind of lateral slide, many moment frames, and also moment frames that frames the University Avenue, almost like a tunnel. But somehow this was flagged as a very dangerous placement of columns, providing many a blind space. So then the cantilever came. So cantilever, in order to achieve 48 feet cantilever, we had to do many iterations. Together with Silman. Or we even had this scheme that there's a central truss in the middle of the street, providing, division. So we were a bit sick of it in the end, like almost creating a mega building on top of each other. Or maybe we were lack of space. We even made a shelf just dedicated to structural options. Another issue was this side on the campus, on the arts court side. We call it a forum, a NIMB, that peeks into the, of course, very protected historical art squad. So it was, we had to do many studies. This was repeating solid facade with repeating, continuing the rhythm of the windows of Sibley. It's going actually out, but blind, so that you can peek in from the sides. Almost like a Marcel Breuer window. It's like a peeled window, more discreet. But the issue was actually the more detailed issue. You can see the cornice here, and of course we didn't want to just cut it, so we had to find a solution that can be compatible to the existing cornices. So one thing we did immediately was this one, which we liked. We excavated the fascia according to the form of the cornice, only at the top. The other option was to just recess the top plate a little bit so that you provide at the bottom a mini balcony, which we liked very much, but in the end we couldn't achieve because of the budget reason. Dome was also, as I said, was a part of the ambition of the master plan, but we wanted to provide something that solves everything that we needed which couldn't fit to the upper plate, such as the access to upper plate, and also big crit space, and also a 300 people auditorium where you are now. So we wanted to find something that solved all these issues in one single move, which the easiest diagram was something like this, a bridge. But we thought that, as I said again, that the landscape elements that has contrast to the upper plate would be more interesting. So we started to see more options, so kind of multiple domes, more like a Fontana-like cut. And then suddenly, soon it became some kind of plate manipulation. So it rises on one side and creates the slope on the other side for the auditorium and access. But somehow the idea of dome came naturally as contrast to the Sibley dome, kind of very artificial landmark dome, but here more landscape and natural dome. we also had the idea that the use of the underside of the dome was almost a high technology CAD CAM area where all the model shop and computer technology are put together. So very representative, as opposed to the Sibley Dome that was library at the time, some kind of center of production. There was many issues about this exterior, covered exterior spaces, skepticism, rightfully so with such a harsh weather. But our idea was to provide very urban exterior working space. As you can see, we are desperate to convince the faculty that these kind of illustrations, okay, art exhibition, light features, even a play. I hope it happens. But somehow we, of course, had to do post-engineering or show at least an idea. For example, having a radiant panel on the ceiling so that in the winter it's not too cold, and also enclosing the west side. Also, in order to go against the skepticism, we wanted to make the underside more pleasant, almost like an interior. So we used the American tin ceiling as a motif and blew it up to 4 feet, and then pressed it as to enhance the idea that this is an urban living room rather than just covered exterior space. So we provided this kind of curtain that seals the wind, etc. But somehow that was not enough. As you can see, the illustrations were very desperate. So somehow at the end of SD, the college asked to actually enclose everything on the ground. So this is one scheme that we had to do to provide another box underneath. So you can see this is enclosed box underneath the current box. So even this side shows the kind of intersection of two boxes. But I'm very happy currently that, I'm very happy that we didn't have to go to that direction, because actually the activity that is happening here is quite diverse and urban. And of course you get this. Even the kind of mixture to the deer, the kind of natural participants. We even found a student's house yesterday. Someone actually, they claimed that they found it in the garbage. in their bedroom, a piece of the soffit panel. We like how the things go around. There are some value engineering that we had to do, and it's kind of, I just show you three things that I still think it's pity. It's a balcony on the north side against Foundry. I think could have been really nice. We have some kind of communication to people on the walking on a pedestrian side. And there was a window called floor window, looking down, actually it would have been there, looking down to the auditorium. People who couldn't fit to the auditorium could see from the window above. And of course, it's crazy, but we liked it. We liked the idea. And the roof access, of course, we provided such a huge roof area. We, of course, in the beginning, was thinking to use it. And it could still happen in the future. But the issue of escapes and the amount of balustrades that you need to protect is, of course, was too much money. And as you know, though, that it's so visible from everywhere in the campus, the roof actually has an idea that the density of the green changes from a lone, like a arts quad side, to the denser green on the gorge side. So it has this pattern that changes from south to north. It's very dangerous, so please don't go. Another thing, which we typically have many VE items, but this one is adding items. So you are sitting on this auditorium, which is simultaneously a boardroom for entire Cornell University. And the board meeting happens a couple of times per year. So we actually have a system that all these board chairs are embedded under the floor. You can see. So this was added like, when was it? 2009. So it was pretty much, the construction was almost happening at the time, and this was the kind of key things to accommodate for the construction. And we designed this chair that can swivel and also acknowledges the achievement of each board member. So we provided this kind of first class chairs that the table and microphone and voting system and everything is integrated. But unfortunately, it has to be underground most of the time. Because the individual chair can come up, you can configure it in many different ways. That was also trying to change the dynamics of the Board of Trustees. I would like to end with a team in the office. So, as I said, in 2006, we took over the office again after the partner left. And so we started from like six people, basically only on this project, a team occupying a room in New York. And soon it became a kind of real office. Doesn't look like working hard, but it's taking pictures, meetings. Also, with faculty, we had to do many meetings in this kind of very casual manner, because we didn't have proper meeting room. In this famous view, it was actually me. I'm not saying this happened because of my leadership. I was the only one who was doing nothing at the time, so I had to hold the plate. So a kind of moment of... And then the meetings with many stakeholders were very interesting. The process. And I would like to end at the educational issue. So what we liked most about it is that we managed to integrate also in the pedagogical level beyond this kind of Star Architect signing session. I heard that some classes actually took place to document the construction process. And it's an honor that our intention to provide a steel box on the top and the concrete building at the bottom, of course, showed a very different process. And we conduct, as Ken said, we conducted a studio three times in New York. And actually, I can say that the two best thesis award came from interns that had an internship at our office 2 years in a row. And I would like to thank all the team, extended team members, including the design team, and also from PDC and also faculty. And more to, I'm just speaking here as a representative, but this whole session couldn't happen without all these people that were involved in the process. And we won the Building of the Year award at ArchiDaily. Thank you.